jump in, he will.
It's the Skinny on Sports Podcast with Aaron Dowd.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with the Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Garrison Financial Friday out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to the Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the last day of the week. We got all kinds of stuff that we can talk about today. The NBA playoffs at the end of the show with a couple of those Eastern Conference series finishing up last night. Our man Quade Cummins from Weatherford in position to make the cut at the Byron Nelson as he just finished up his first round after a delay yesterday, pushed it to today, shot two under in the first round, so he's right there, probably needs at least another two under today, if not a little bit better, to make the cut, but in his fifth, or maybe it's his sixth PGA Tour start after Monday qualifying, so we can kind of talk about that. Lots of high school sports going on. I know there's track state state meets, tennis state meets going on, probably as we speak. The high school baseball state tournaments in A and B started yesterday. We'll tell you how the local teams did there. Elk City won their area / super regional with a 2-game sweep over Manford yesterday, headed to their third straight state tournament on the baseball field. That's never happened in Elk City baseball history that I could find. And then we'll tell you kind of who else is going to be there as those 4A areas are wrapping up. There's still two yet to be decided, but we kind of know what the bracket is. Don't know where or don't know what time yet. We do know the Elks will play Chickasha on Thursday somewhere. Just don't know where yet. A lot of this stuff has to be decided in the larger schools, who's playing, who's not, whose field is available. And we also do know that Saturday, if the Elks make it into the state finals, that will be in Bricktown, at the Bricktown Ballpark. So all of that, there's still some things up in the air, still some things that have been decided, but surely by Monday we'll know everything about that. And then also Scotty G's here. It is the Garrison Financial Friday. Oklahoma, for the first time I can remember in a while, has won a gigantic bidding war for a portal commit. And it is Dominic. Thank goodness it's not demonic, because that would have been rough. It would have been good for his NIL, not, you know. But Dominic Williams, the TCU defensive lineman, 6'2", 330, has committed to Oklahoma. We'll talk about maybe what went in to get to that point money-wise. And then also this week, we never have quite got to it, but it came out on Monday or Tuesday that, you know, the conferences, the NCAA, they're starting to work toward a settlement, the NCAA, that is, with this NIL case that's been out there. And what does that look like, and how is that even possible money-wise? Well, that's why we got Scott here, so he can explain it to you all. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com, or you can download the app. The app is free, and it's got it all. It's got the radio. It's got the Penny News. You can go pick up a free copy of the Penny News or check it out through the app online at thepennynews.com. Of course, Big Elk and Paragon TV. Big Elk TV, Sean Willie Wilson will be tough assignment for him next week for the boys' state tournament on the golf course. Shangri-La, poor guy.
Yeah.
Don't know how he's going to make it there.
It's rough.
He'll be there Monday and Tuesday with reports from the 4A boys' state tournament. And then, of course, Thursday somewhere we'll have the baseball first round of that state tournament. And you can watch it through the app, Paragon Communications. And, of course, our podcast. If you miss the show entirely, you can find us anywhere where podcasts drop. Good morning, fellas. How are y'all?
Hey, how come the guy that won a state championship for the Elk City golf team doesn't get to go to Shangri-La to cover the state playoffs?
It's not really get to. It's availability.
Oh, okay. All right. I was just wondering.
No, it's more... Here's the deal.
That's a good question.
Here's the deal. I'm playing in the Bob over at Sayre this weekend. And so you know, Saturday evening or Sunday evening, get done at what? 3, 7, let's see, start at 1:30, probably 7.
Yeah.
7:30. And then the trip to Shangri-La, I mean, I wouldn't be there till like 2 a.m.
It was about 4.5 hour drive.
5.
Yeah.
Be a little rough.
Yeah, it's past Tulsa. Yeah,
it's a bit of a drive.
It's a beautiful place.
Remember when we went to Grove?
100%.
There
yes.
it is. Yeah, I know that's where that's where you stay in. It's Grove.
Yeah,
yeah. Shangri-La itself is awesome.
Oh man,
that's awesome. They got that tournament.
It's pretty cool for them. You know, we played at Cushing. No offense to Cushing, it was nice back then. And Trosper Park. These boys are headed to Shangri-La.
Yeah, that's
one of those is not like the other.
Ooh, la, about getting to play at Bricktown Ballpark?
That's
pretty cool.
Hey, I got a question. Do we get to have a cold beverage at the Bricktown Ballpark?
Now that is probably a negative.
Unfortunately, no.
That's it. Yeah, you know,
the all you can eat and drink seats will not be available.
You know, I've always wondered. You know, that for college games, of course. Now, you know, back in the day, that was unheard of, but you could still get one there, like for a Big 12 tournament or whatever.
Yep.
Now, of course, they serve it in their own college stadium, so it's not quite the same thing. But I have a feeling the answer to that one's no.
Yeah.
You could go across the street and get yourself a little pregame meal and drink.
Yeah, it's probably a pre and post.
Yeah.
A pregame lube up and a postgame celebration type
thing. Maybe a little tailgating. There's a lot of opportunities down there.
Yeah.
Hopefully that's what's happening a week from tomorrow.
Absolutely. I do not want to be playing golf here. I can tell you that right now. I want to be out on the member guest, in on the state baseball title. All right, so yesterday, I mean, I got to tell you, Jared didn't appear to agree with my thoughts on this recruitment of Dominic Williams. I was so fascinated by it. I thought it was awesome. His handler did a hell of a job keeping the decision under wraps.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't know where he's going until, I mean, of course, you get those guys that, oh, it's a lean here. Oh, it's a, you know, of course, it just happens to be the team they cover. Oh, look at there, lean it to me. Somebody click. That way I can get some money.
Yeah.
But nobody really and truly knew. It's a great job by him keeping this, and also the handler keeping everybody strung along, keeping everybody in the game with the money-wise. But OU does win this recruiting battle for Dominic Williams. I would love to, like, okay, let me ask you, let's say you're king of the collective at Oklahoma. What would be, with the need at defensive tackle, you know, not only depth, but older guys. Obviously, the younger guys have a lot of potential, but I don't know if that's what you really need in your first year in the SEC, is two true freshman defensive tackles out there trying to anchor the line. So the importance of that position and that guy, a freshman All-American 2 years ago at TCU, if you were king of the collective, what would have been your top dollar amount?
That's a pretty good question. I don't know. But, you know, you're setting a precedence too. So you got to look at what you're doing going forward.
Yeah, that's the thing. And do we even know? You always hear rumors about this guy went to this place because, like Green, for instance, getting a lot of money, allegedly. I don't know. My point is, what's the going rate?
Well,
do we even know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, what's A&M got to do now to get players? I mean, they kind of set a precedence as paying more than anybody a couple years ago. So now are they having to?
Well,
They
promised it. I don't know if they paid them.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing. Some of the exodus was like, I'm not getting what was promised to me, and they're getting out of there. Now, back to your question, I don't know, 1.5, 2 million?
Okay, so that's interesting because I knew it was going to be more than a million. But to Scott, I know what Scott's saying. I wonder if he's thinking the same way I am. When you set a precedent, but for who? Are you setting that precedent for?
Yeah.
Because...
for the big headhunter guy.
Well, what about David Stone and Jaden Jackson that you already got on campus as true freshmen? Now they see, oh, really?
Oh, dear. Yeah.
Dominic got a mil and a half. I'm only getting 300K.
Yeah.
So then when it comes around to January,
junior year.
Next December.
Yeah.
How does that
Maybe
go?
Maybe I need to put my name
well,
in the
do you
portal.
Think an it, well, or do you think an NIL guy is going, listen, he was an All-American. I got money for you. I got the bag for you if you perform at an All-American level and get on that list.
I'm sure that that's part of it.
It's kind of like a sign, you know, like incentives in the NFL.
Yeah.
You get to the playoffs, get this much. Win a playoff game, get this much. Win a win the conference, win the Super Bowl.
I mean,
Bowl.
Yeah, that, in a perfect world, that's right. This ain't a perfect world. You're talking about 19-year-old kids who just went through their first season in the SEC at Oklahoma. Their teammate that maybe they are, maybe they're not actually better than, but they're looking at him going, I'm better than him. Pay me. You know, that's something I think that has to be
not
weighed.
The only thing. We're also talking about this generation.
Well,
I mean, the entitlement issues.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, I don't know.
And then how much, I mean, do you say pass on a kid because of those things? You know what? The guy's super talented, but if I'm going to spend $1 million...
I can tell you from what, at least from how he talks, Nick Saban would have.
Well, that's exactly where I was going. Okay, so, you know, there was guys throughout the years, especially once he got established at Alabama, that as he's, you know, the guy,
mm-hmm.
there was a lot of times where you'd see, you know, the recruiting rankings and there would be just out of nowhere in the top 10 or 20 of the guys around the country that, you know, you're in your mind thinking, oh, well, he's definitely got an Alabama offer. I mean, Alabama gets all the best. And you look around, he wouldn't have one.
Yeah.
And it's all be damned. Once they got in college, that a bunch of those kids just completely flamed out. Mm-hmm. And so you immediately have to think, well, that was on purpose. Saban knew something nobody else did.
Yeah.
And didn't have to play the game with that kid because he just got the one right underneath him in the rankings.
Yep.
That ended up being a contributor.
That had the personality traits that he was looking for.
Yeah, and I wonder how much that still can work because it does, it once again, with what they say, it does seem like that Brent Venables is at least selling that idea to the fan base and also to the kids that he's recruiting.
The idea of
culture,
yeah,
we more than me,
yeah, and he does appear to have, yeah, that's true.
But on the other side of it is, you can see, I get the culture thing and it being a red flag, somebody that's as uber talented, but they're asking for way too much than what they probably should be getting. You know, you see it like a girl dating a bad guy. Like, I can change him. Like, no, you can't. You can just move on. It's time to move on. Let someone else try to change him. He's a bad egg, you know? So there's kind of like that fine line. So, but I'm not suggesting Williams is that bad egg because of all this, but makes you wonder, like, who takes on that bad egg? Like, his talent outweighs his mood, his bad attitude.
Well, you take a look at the guys that were successful at OU and the guys that weren't. You know, never heard anything about Sam Bradford or Landry Jones or, for that matter, Baker Mayfield too, having the it's all about me attitude. Now, Baker was definitely a competitor and a trash talker, but it was never really the it's all about me. And then there was a guy that fell out of the back of a pickup truck that was supposed to be better than all of them, and that was the attitude that he had.
Yeah, Brent Rawls.
Yeah.
Never. I mean, the most important thing he did at Oklahoma was falling out of a truck. Oh, there's a bunch of those guys. I mean, yeah, there's something to that for sure. And I wonder, to your point about the change in a guy and whatnot, you know, when you think about the risk of a scholarship position, it's pretty minimal. But then nowadays, when you have to throw in, okay, let's say we have just thrown a number for no reason, but let's say we just because it's a round figure, let's say we have a $10 million pool of money to pay our players. All of a sudden, with that talented of a guy, you're now, say you have to pay him $1.5 million. Well, now you're risking 15% of your pool of money on a guy that you maybe not trust to be there.
What we've been talking about in the NFL with the quarterbacks.
That it's almost becoming like a salary cap situation that has to be managed in college sports.
It is. Well, I mean, it is. I mean, the salary cap is the amount of money that you got. I mean, they talk about all the money that these different schools have, and you know, somebody's that money's got to come from somewhere. So, I'm not sure that much money is really there at any of these places.
I'm really not either.
Yeah,
I absolutely do not believe when you say, let's say the number comes out, he got $1 million. I do not believe he got a briefcase full of $1 million. Mm-hmm. It has to be more of a contract with some sort of what NIL is supposed to be, right? Or are they literally just paying him the money?
It's supposed to be. Yeah.
I mean, look at T. Boone Pickens. Folks, if he were alive today.
Yeah, I think he'd have just been given money.
Would he?
I don't know.
I think that a bigger part of the money that he gave was about his name being on the stadium.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's already there. And now it's time to make a winner out of that. Well, those dudes on that stadium.
Yeah.
Inside of it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'd have loved to. I mean, I'm sure OSU fans are out there going, me too. But I'd have loved to have seen how he would have handled. Because here's another truth of it. He's also a businessman.
Yeah.
And I would assume probably a fairly cutthroat one in the business that he made all of his money in, right?
I mean,
just saying. And so therefore you immediately go, oh well, yeah, he's just gonna fire it out there, be a crazy old man. But is he also going to demand results from everybody in that program? I would assume that would be the case too.
But then
all of a sudden he might
definitely rode his coach's butt.
And how much worse would that have been when he's forking over 10 mil a year or whatever it might have been?
It would have been like that with T. Boone. It wouldn't have been like, here's your briefcase and he's done with it. He would have been like, it goes back to the character.
He's the owner of the team.
I think he would have been, I don't like this guy. I don't like his character.
Name's on the stadium.
This is not the Cowboy way, so we're done with him. We're not paying this kid.
Then you get involved in which ones you pay them. I mean, could have been. And I'm sure it's happening somewhere, if not everywhere, to a certain extent of, here's what I'll give you, but it better go to that kid instead of that kid.
Well, I mean, why do you think didn't take A&M very long to get rid of their head coach after 2 years of paying big money to NIL deals?
How many of these NIL contributors, and I'm air quoting here, because it's so loosey-goosey and it's so Wild West, they said, okay, I'll go promise this kid this much amount of money to get him to put pen to paper to come to my university. I don't have to give it to them because they're not going to threaten me with a suit or anything. There's nothing out there that can do that.
Well, if they,
and then that's why you see these kids go, man, this guy told me I was getting this much. This is why, and he didn't deliver, and I'm out.
But just like we talked about the kid, the kid from Florida that signed the contract that ended up having to give back more than his first year.
That was smart.
He ended up having to give back more than his first year's NFL salary.
Yeah.
Because he left early.
Yeah.
And my point, you can't tell me that these kids, I guarantee you, they're signing 50, 60, 70 page contracts. They don't know what's in that thing.
No, no.
They haven't read any of it.
But my point is, are there guys out there doing what I just said just to see, okay, I'm going to just see what sticks?
Yeah.
All these 10 kids, we got all these 10 kids, and three of them stuck. Three of them hung around.
Well, this guy this year, end of the year. Well, I only got $250,000. Where's the other $750,000? Well, it's in your contract. You were supposed to get 15 sacks. You got 14 and a half.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening. I don't know that we've got incentive-laced contracts just yet. But
I've suggested that should be a thing. That would help prevent opt-outs and stuff.
Yeah, you can't. I don't think that's legal without having some sort of a bargaining agreement, right? So that leads us to this next thing. Earlier in the week, it came out that the NCAA, in the lawsuit with all this that started with the NIL.
Which one?
They're starting to, there's like three or four of them out there. They're starting to consider just settling. I mean, the valuation right now is $4 billion, and we all know that can go way up if they lose. So Do they? It looks like they're starting to consider a settlement. Who knows what that would be? But I mean, there's things like back pay, I mean, all kinds of stuff that could be possible in this. But then once that is kind of cleared up, it does pave the way. And I know I heard Trev Albert speaking of A&M, the new AD in A&M. He's already basically said that his athletic department is budgeting $15 to $20 million extra for unforeseen expense. Most people believe that means paying the athletes. At that point, the antitrust thing that the NCAA has, does that go away? And now all of a sudden you have the athletes having to form a union to start collectively bargaining with the NCAA? I mean, how does this...
And who's going to form that union? Because I'm going to tell you right now, if I'm a football player, the first thing I'm saying to the starter on the women's basketball team is, I'm not joining a union with you. We're joining our union. We're joining the football union.
So is this the also, I think maybe this suit gets settled, those conversations start to happen. Is this what makes football separate itself from the NCAA? And now you've got those football players in a union.
Might very well be.
Like bargaining with the conferences who are now running college football.
Yeah. Might very well be.
A lot of crazy stuff is possible.
Well, I mean, like those kids. Was it the Princeton basketball team?
Columbia or one of those. Yeah.
Yeah. Guys, you don't make any money for the school. What are you guys talking about? I mean, nobody wants. So, yeah, I think this – if they settle, if the NCAA settles, that's exactly what it's going to be. This will be what causes football to become its own entity.
You know what's kind of lurking in the shadows? Title IX. And how does that play in all this?
It's a good question. You know, I mean, you got the NBA supporting the WNBA. You know, men's soccer is supporting. Listen, I know I'm going to catch some heat on this one, folks. The U.S. women's soccer team makes a lot of money every time they play in the United States. I will agree. When they travel outside of the United States, there are 13 people there to watch them play. Every time they fly to China or Japan or wherever, they are costing the Olympic soccer program or whatever it is a ton of money. So, yeah, I don't know. Will it? But there's not a, you know, maybe women's basketball can tell the men's basketball, hey, you got to share. But why would the football team say, what right. we got to share for? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
It's going to be interesting because they're – it's pretty easy, like with the, you know, the pro stuff. We think of college sports as heading back to or moving more toward pro stuff, but there's so many other things that are entangled in all of this because you are still dealing with, I mean, government funded entities in the universities that are going to be a part of these situations, and you know that, and that does mean Title IX is in there, you know, all of those different things become either bargaining chips or maybe even loopholes that can't be jumped through to get this fully toward what we think of as professional sports. And so there's still a lot. I think it's not just as cut and dried as, you know, forming a union and, you know, we can bargain with these guys.
Well, it's not going to be cut and dried in any way, shape, or form because there's going to be so many lawyers and on so many sides with their hands in the pot. And once again, I'm going to get myself in trouble. What do lawyers do? Well, they don't want it to go fast because they make a lot more money when it goes slow. So yeah, it's going to be a mess for a long time. Don't think this is going to be over in the next 2 years.
No, I think you're looking into the 2030s before, yeah, whatever it ends up being comes to pass.
Yeah. And I do think that – I do think in the 2030s it's going to be some type of system that is in a large part like European soccer.
Like with the relegation.
Premier League, with the relegation, with all of that.
With football only, though, right?
With football only.
So, I mean, I'm the same. What do you think, Jared? Are you of the mind, because I know I am, that football ends up being totally separate from everything else NCAA?
Yeah, I think we're seeing the early seedings of that with what the Big Ten and the SEC have kind of whatever agreement that they're doing. It's like they're laying the foundation. Like, hey, we got to get ready for this because it's going to – going to happen, and they're going to be ready for whatever happens. And totally agree. And I've seen a model of the regulation thing of totally blowing up the conferences. It's kind of fun to look at. I don't know if you saw that kind of leak by it was on Twitter. I don't know if where it officially came from, but it regionally, what the conferences would look like regionally, and then like there's another sub conference that is where these G5 schools, if they're winning more, they get in and they get a chance at a national title. If they're not winning, they're out and another schools take their place. It's really interesting. But the bigger schools, the established, you know, obviously Blue Bloods and then the others are safe from being.
It would be something, you know, like say that there's 120. I think there's 121 or 123
yeah, something
now.
Like that goes
something
up.
Like that.
Yeah.
But it'd probably be like 40, 40, and 40, you know. Because, yeah, it would money-wise, it would be impossible for the bottom 40 to compete year after year after year with the other guys. Just like that guy that we talked about in the draft that Alabama wanted from, where was he playing?
Oh, Toledo.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah, the one that the Eagles drafted.
Yeah, every once in a while you get one of those guys when you're at Toledo, but not very often.
Yeah, I think the 40-40-40 is interesting. You know, probably need to be 48 just to work it out even numbers, you know, like four conferences of 12 or divisions or whatever it's going to be. But then then there's three rungs of the ladder instead of two. And so, therefore, then you can have constant movement and flow through all three instead of just this one and this one.
Right.
I think that makes a lot of sense from a competition standpoint. And you know, all three of those have a playoff, and that sort of determines who gets to move up and who has to come down at the bottom. You know that.
Yeah.
I think that's a really interesting model. I've always been for that. I mean, I've had it at like 64, and then have everybody like only two. But I like the idea of three even better because then the really bottom schools can still compete with each other, and then you know start to work their way up the ladder.
Yeah.
You know, TCU is a perfect example in this conference. Southwest Conference school that got left out when the Big 12 was formed, took them a while to get their footing. Then all of a sudden they changed a couple of different conferences in through there, end up out in the Mountain West. It becomes a pretty good league that they start to be able to get better and better players. And next thing you know, they played for
their competitors.
Oh yeah. They played for three or four Big 12 titles in what, 14 years that they've been in the conference.
And won a playoff game in the...
That's right. And won a playoff game.
Yeah. Everybody forgets because they had a... You know, they got whooped in the championship game. They won the playoff game.
Beat Michigan to win the playoff
game. Better than what OU did.
Yeah. They're the only Big 12 team to win a damn playoff game.
There you go.
So far. Texas didn't do her either last year. All right. The market is wild and woolly and crazy, a lot like college athletics right now.
Yeah.
What are you doing on a day-to-day basis to kind of, I don't know, ease the nerves or what have you for all your clients?
Yeah, we're just trying to, you know, help clients through. If clients have a higher risk factor, then yeah, we're making moves a lot. We're making a lot of moves. So that's I'm a little different than a lot of advisors out there. I'm not afraid to move some things around. So if you want to come by and see me, we can talk about it. But first thing that we got to know is, what is your risk analysis? Because yours isn't the same as mine, and mine's not the same as Jared's. So come down and see me. Let's talk about it.
Absolutely. Scott@SoonerWealth.com is his email address. Go see him at 124 North Main in Elk City. 821-1219 is his office phone number. Scott@SoonerWealth.com. Have a great weekend.
Yeah. Good luck to all these
by the
kids
way,
competing for state.
Whoa. We've buried the lead. Congratulations on your win Tuesday night.
Oh, yeah. Kind of a big deal.
Three
I think we
week
used two of my shots.
3 week carryover?
I know.
Hello.
I know. Somehow Melissa knew about it when I got home.
Oh, dear. Wasn't
yeah.
me.
Yeah. I gave her a...
He gave her a little bit of money for it?
Yeah. Told her I split it. Might not have quite split that.
Good enough, though.
She's teaching right now. She can't hear
That's
this.
Exactly. I hope she doesn't have it. Hope it's not a planning period and she's listening. Hey, man. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
All right.
That is Scott Garrison, Garrison Financial. It's Garrison at Financial Friday. Scott at SoonerWealth.com. Shoot him an email. Head by there at 124 North Main. When we come back.
Come out and play men's league sometime on Friday night.
I have to get ready for a Kentucky Derby party tonight or I would.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back. High school baseball on deck next. Getting on sports right here on The Sports Animal.
Hello, my name is Scott Garrison. You may remember me as Scott the Barber or just as Ron and Carla's son. I've been involved in our community since opening Scott's Barbershop on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main in 1998. Now I'm back in the same building as Garrison Financial. I started investing in my 20s. I invested through the dot-com crash and the Great Recession. I started caring for other people's money in 2018, and I truly enjoy sitting down with my clients, understanding their wants and needs, as well as what keeps them up at night. Whether my friends just want me to invest a little of their savings or want me to work with their tax and legal professionals to strive towards optimal efficiency, we can do it all. I believe communication is key to helping my clients reach their goals. For if we are faithful over a few things, we shall be given more. Contact me at scott@soonerwealth.com. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer, member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Garrison Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated. This communication is strictly intended for individuals residing in the states of Colorado, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. No offers may be made or accepted from any resident outside the specific states referenced. Cambridge does not offer tax and legal advice.
The Skinny on Sports.
Just a bit outside.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. We're hanging out here on a Garrison Financial Friday. Appreciate Scott's time each and every Friday morning that he can make it. It's good stuff that he adds from a lot of different realms. The money involved in sports is just getting more and more prevalent as we move along here, for sure. All right, so yesterday, Jared, we were over at Ackley Park, just about, I don't know, half a mile away from us, where we sit right now, for the area tournament in the 4A baseball on the way to state. The Big Elks and Manford, two games yesterday. Elk City sweeps the series, and so now they move on to their third straight state tournament, first time that's ever happened in school history. I did find out, though, I've been saying that the Elks have never won a state tournament in baseball, and the research I could find going back, they had never played for the title. That is actually wrong. Further back than I could find, in 1957, the Elks did play for a state title and were defeated by Bing 7-1. And then, as the story goes, let me pull this up. As the story goes... Well, talk amongst yourselves for just a second. Yeah, 1957, Bing beat us 7-1. Jerry Walker was the pitcher for Bing, and he beat the Elks, and about 3 weeks later, he was beating the Yankees a drafted guy. So you can probably understand why that went that way. But anyhow...
Not funny. A pitcher's name is Walker. You wouldn't want that.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't want that, would you?
Don't want to be known as the guy who walks a lot, guy. It's not like he didn't, though.
Yeah, it's like if you're. I've seen some different guys throughout, the life in golf, and their last name is Hacker, and you're like, oh,
yeah,
ouchies, that hurts a little. Okay, so the game one, Cash Mayfield, his last time on the hill at Ackley Park. And he goes out and he throws all seven innings, an 18 strikeout, perfect game. I mean, it's like storybook stuff, right?
Oh, humdrum, just another dominant outing.
I saw his mom put on Facebook, that's the first time he's had a perfect game since he played in Cooperstown, New York as a 12-year-old. How awesome is that,
wow.
Right? So Cash ends up, the stats this year are We keep on saying it, but just they're insane. They're stupid how good they are. Mm-hmm. So he ends up with a 6-0 record. He threw seven innings yesterday, so 37 total innings. He struck out 97 of the 117 batters he faced. Walked five, gave up two hits. No runs, no earned runs. A 0.0 ERA. And just the dominance I saw yesterday, I think I sent it to you, the Prep Baseball Report, they either had some intel or had a gun there. You know, he was set 93 to 95, which every time I look down at the scout in front of us, it was 94 or 95 and 96 a couple of times.
Yeah.
I guess he hit 96 in the seventh inning, hit 98 at some point throughout the day, according to that Prep Baseball Report. So, I mean, you can
– Listen, I went to the bathroom between games, and there were some Manfred Pirates in there.
Mm-hmm.
And just to hear them talk, they're laughing. They're just like, I couldn't even see it. I look like a golf ball. I know, right? I couldn't see it either. And I'm standing there doing my thing, just kind of chuckling, just trying not to make it obvious that I was laughing at them. But it's just incredible.
Well, be honest, it's not even laughing at them. It's almost laughing with them.
We're
sitting there seeing it too, and it's just you're going, what?
Yes.
How in the world do you even attempt?
Yeah.
You know, and no offense to the kid, but the Bushyhead kid, Max Bushyhead, mm-hmm. is going to OU, and he had no chance.
No.
I mean, that second at bat, Cash started him off with the slider, and he swung miles over the top of it, and he did. He literally looked at the dugout to his buddies and just started laughing,
yeah.
like, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
What just happened there?
They're
you know?
Probably thinking on the drive-in, okay, we're going to face the best pitcher in Oklahoma, and this is going to be – we should have fun with it. We have an opportunity to see this guy, and then we can tell our kids, yeah, I played against that guy.
I don't know. I mean, so his – Jason
– And then one of them's going to go, yeah, I fouled it off, though. You didn't even touch it.
Yeah, the one guy hit it. I pulled it. I hit a fly ball left field.
Yeah, there you go.
Nobody's done that
exactly,
all year, boys.
Exactly, exactly.
So Jay sent me his career stats to this point. 21-2. I'm going to guess. I know last year's semifinal was one of the losses. I think he probably was saddled with the loss as a freshman in regionals up at against Bethany at Heritage Hall.
Hmm.
I'm going to guess that's his other loss. Without absolutely knowing, that's just my guess. He's given up 31 hits, 24 runs, only 11 of them have been earned. He's walked 43, struck out 307 batters. Hit two, poor guys. ERA, a minuscule 0.596. What do you think? This is the astounding one. Batting average against. What do you think guys hit?
Zero. 0.01 something. I don't know.
0.068.
Six.
That's batting average against.
Incredible. Just incredible.
So that was game one. Then game two, you know, game one, Cole Boob was 3-for-3 at the plate. Ryland Parks did a great job at the plate as well. And then game two, the Elks load the bases, score a run in the bottom or the top of the first. They were the away team. So it's bases loaded, two out. Catch Gino hits just a pop-up, a fly ball, can of corn to right field, and the poor right fielder didn't squeeze it. It pops out of his glove, and the floodgates absolutely open. Two runs scored then to make it 3-0. The Elks would then score seven more, and it was 10-0 going into the home half of the first. Bryce Mouse was on the bump for the Elks. He did a great job. He hit a couple of guys, didn't walk anybody. So forced Manfred to come back swinging it. They scored a few runs. A couple of errors helped that out by the Elks. But, you know, it's one of those things when it's 10-0 after the top of the first. I know I felt this way. Maybe you didn't. But I always felt like it was closer than it really was. Because the last thing you ever want to see is blow a 10-run lead, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when it was 10-2, thinking, uh-oh. All right, get out of this. You know, and then yeah. and it was 10-3. Like, uh-oh, get out. It never really was anywhere close to Manfred being able to complete some sort of comeback. But the Elks win 11-3, so they move into the state tournament next week. We know who they'll play. Elk City will play Chickasha somewhere, sometime on Thursday. That's what we know, that the Elks and Chickasha will be the first round matchup. We don't know where, we don't know when. I cannot find a Blanchard or Ada score to save my life, so I'm going to guess they haven't even started their Super Regional yet because of weather. But most of the bracket is filled out. There's a game, Cushing and Stigler, at 4 o'clock today. Whoever wins that will play Tuttle. On that same side of the bracket, it'll be Marlow against Hilldale. And then on the Elks side of the bracket, it's the Elks and Chickasha. And then the Blanchard Ada winner will play Newcastle. So we know pretty well what the bracket is with just a couple of teams left to fill it out. And so that's how it's going to set up next week. Like I said, we'll figure out times and locations coming up here either over the weekend or I'm sure by Monday. Weather permitting, obviously, but by Monday you'd think that would be ready to roll. And we know exactly what's going on with that 4A state tournament bracket. Yesterday, the Class A and B state tournaments got going. Class A at Shawnee, Class B at Moore. The Arapahoe Butler Indians knocked off number 2 Dewar 5-2. So Arapahoe moves into the semifinals. They will play Amber Pocasset at 1:30 today in Shawnee. So congratulations to the Indians. Dewar had been a team that was wearing it out. Looking at like regional results and district results, they had wore the baseball out. So a great job there holding them to only 2 runs. So Arapahoe Butler plays Zampo in the semifinals. Canute, man, it was 1-1 for a while there against number 1 Tushka, but eventually Tushka defeats Canute 7-1. They will play Okarchee. Reason that's notable around here, Okarchee Warriors head coach Matt Yost, former Big Elk. And so Okarchee and Tushka, they play at 11 o'clock today in the semifinals. They'll play the winner of that will play the winner of Arapahoe Butler and Amber Pocasset. And then in the Class B tournament, Fort Cobb-Broxton, too much for Granite. They beat them 18-4. And then Stewart clipped Navajo 7-6 in the Class B tournament. Calumet won 10-0 over Roth. That still looks like a collision course headed on Saturday between Fort Cobb-Broxton and Calumet. But at least, you know, Canute, man, they improved an amazing amount from the fall to the spring. Grew up a whole bunch, and you know, they were right there for a while against Tushka.
Yeah, you know, Tushka, just the power of their bats came alive. But that was another great showing from Canute in this season and that next step that they took. There, a lot of sophomores, a lot of young kids, they'll be back, they'll be fine. Shout out to Arapahoe Butler, too, getting the win over Dewar. That was impressive, and they got a chance now with I'd have to look at the bracket. It escapes who they have. They got a real good shot. They got a real, real good shot to get to the title game. Real good shot. So they're going to carry the Western Oklahoma flag for this area. So congratulations to both squads.
Just a second, and I'll give you a little bit more about that. I thought I had this pulled up. Arapahoe Butler, 26-2, by the way.
They're very good. I've been saying it all season.
If you're wondering.
And I'm very disappointed that game got rained out between them and Canute. I think that would have been a really, really fun game.
Looks like Southall was on the mound yesterday. 1 hit, 2 runs. Walked 4, struck out 6. Let's see. RBIs from Baker and Casas. But to hold, I'm telling you, looking at the scores that Dewar was putting up, the runs they were putting up, to hold that team to 1 hit and 2 runs, that's an incredible performance on the mound. So, yeah, right. Arapahoe Butler and Ampo today, 1:30 in the semifinals in Class A. Anything else from the high school ranks of track and tennis going on right now? We might be able to dig up some tennis results. I know I took Brooksy, Bryce Mouse's little brother, to school today.
Oh, yeah?
Because they were all headed up to watch Kirby, their sister, play in the tennis tournament. So we'll see if we can't find some tennis results before we get out of here on a Garrison Financial Friday. When we return, we can hit the NBA playoffs. Get a little leaderboard update. I don't know if Quade started his second round yet or not down at the Byron Nelson. And just whatever else. You know,
NBA's game were fun last night.
I'll tell you what else we could do.
What's
something
that
has nothing to do with sports.
Oh.
We'll be back.
Food!
Unfortunately, no.
Hello, my name is Scott Garrison. You may remember me as Scott the Barber or just as Ron and Carla's son. I've been involved in our community since opening Scott's Barbershop on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main in 1998. Now I'm back in the same building as Garrison Financial. I started investing in my 20s. I invested through the dot-com crash and the Great Recession. I started caring for other people's money in 2018, and I truly enjoy sitting down with my clients, understanding their wants and needs, as well as what keeps them up at night. Whether my friends just want me to invest a little of their savings or want me to work with their tax and legal professionals to strive towards optimal efficiency, we can do it all. I believe communication is key to helping my clients reach their goals. For if we are faithful over a few things, we shall be given more. Contact me at scott@soonerwealth.com. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Garrison Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated. This communication is strictly intended for individuals residing in the states of Colorado, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. No offers may be made or accepted from any resident outside the specific states referenced. Cambridge does not offer tax and legal advice.
The Skinny on Sports.
Now we're back!
Welcome back, Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal, hanging out on a Garrison Financial Friday. Scott@SoonerWealth.com. Scott's a full financial planner. Shops the open markets to bring you your best value on your life insurance and your investments. As he said, you know, risk assessment is a big part of what he does. So as the more risk averse, the more the market gets volatile, the more that you know, he can really kind of tailor everything to what you really want him to do. Scott@SoonerWealth.com. All right, Jared, we could do a lot of sports, but we would probably be remiss without mentioning what this day is. 25 years ago today.
Yeah.
Do you remember where you were?
Yes.
Where were you?
I remember back then I was, you know, obviously in high school. I had this I was right at the end of baseball season. We weren't playing baseball anymore. And after school, I'd go and mow lawns. A teacher of ours over there had a little side hustle, a little mowing operation that he hired high school kids to go and mow lawns. And so we're out mowing lawns in Clinton. And, you know, that was before technology. We didn't have cell phones or anything. I had no clue. And we're on a mower. We had no idea. And it was a beautiful day out in western Oklahoma that day. Because all that stuff, all those storms started, down Lawton area, then moved their way up. But no clue until I got home. No, until we were done and we were putting the mowers up and TV was on. And it was kind of starting in that time. And then going home and just watching the weather and then start suddenly realizing that was a really, really big deal. So. Was it 99, right? So mm-hmm. I was a freshman. I was just a freshman, naive little stupid kid. And I didn't really – so, but watching it unfold on TV, then watching the aftermath is when it really hits you. So that's where I was. How about you? I think we know, but tell us what you were
doing. I was at Fort Cobb.
Yeah.
Fort Cobb Golf Course, speaking about where it started, right there.
A little closer than where I was. Yeah.
Right. I mean, to the point, we were playing regionals. Back then it was 36 holes. We had played 27 holes, and I was on the back nine. I just happened to kind of be on around number 13, which is if you've never played Fort Cobb, it's a par five. The lake is kind of on your left, but you get down into this chute of trees. Like, you can't really – it's almost like you're in a tunnel before you get out toward the green or what have you. And then all of a sudden, I look back, and you start seeing these golf carts racing down the hill towards the green and towards other parts of the back nine. And, you know, get out of there, and you look up, and you're like, whoa, that cloud is black. Mm. I don't know if I've ever seen one that color. Anyway, get up to the clubhouse or what have you, and the scoreboard, and the decision's made that it's going to be a 27-hole golf tournament, even though, you know, some played 127, some played the other 20, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And about that time, you see this red blazer, and it was Channel 9's news tracker. It may or may not have been Val. I don't know that for sure, but it was like, hey, y'all need to get out of here. And so we split. There was another storm kind of a little bit north. We split them going down 152 back home. And like you said, by the time we got back to Elk City, it was a gorgeous evening.
Yeah.
Early afternoon into evening. And my neighbor said, have you seen what's happening in Oklahoma City? I was like, no. He goes, there's a huge tornado. And then sure enough, side story to that, we were playing at Trosper Park the next week for our state tournament. The hotel that we had booked to stay in leveled. Gone.
Wow.
There was cars a couple of cars were thrown onto that golf course.
Yeah.
So crazy stuff, the connection there. But, yeah, it's one of those dates in this state, at least, that we absolutely remember, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, that's and the stories after all of that and in the path of it, it's one of those tornadoes that it's recorded as one of the strongest ever, and I was starting to see some stuff on Twitter like the pictures from that day and just the it's hard to even grasp 25 years later the magnitude of how strong that tornado. I mean, you're talking about homes completely wiped off their foundation, nothing left but the foundation,
right?
And not even a splinter left. Mm-hmm. You just see where a home was, and you're like, "Where's the rest of the home? Just gone." It's incredible. And the one that always stands out to me is when the trooper found the baby.
Yeah,
and that's just a miracle, really, that baby survived that. Covered in mud and crazy stuff.
If you were able to see both things,
yeah,
that tornado, the aftermath of that tornado resembled a whole bunch of what happened at the Murrah bombing. It looked like a bomb went off.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, Dream League,
that's right.
Tomorrow 11 and noon, weather pending. That's their final game this season. Go watch them play at Ackley Park, 11 and noon.
11 and noon, Dream League. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.